Well, tonight, I'd like to share with you, if you want to turn in your Bibles, to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100. The way that this works is Pastor will kind of look throughout his schedule, and sometimes he sees an opportunity that he wants to take advantage of, and sometimes he'll call one of us to step up and to teach. And so he called me a few weeks ago and said, "Hey, would you mind sharing on this particular Sunday night?" And what happens is there's not really a series on Sunday night, so you just sort of pray. And I don't know about you, but I keep a little pad and paper, a pad of paper and a pen by my bedside table, because I ask the Lord to, while I'm sleeping, help me think of things to say. On the next opportunity, I need something to say, Lord, so you never know when that idea is going to come, right? Well, this, I may have had too much pizza the night before, but I want to tell you about a little, I'll just say, kind of a dream. It wasn't anything very complex, and I don't know that it bears even interpretation, and it's not that complex, but I had this picture of a group of people, all believers, but they were facing some serious obstacles in their life. And they were standing outside of a door, and they were knocking on that door. And if you ever, I don't know what they're called, but have you ever seen, like, on an old wooden door, there's a cutout that you can open and you can look out. And there was a person who opened the door and said, "What's the password? What's the password?" And everybody on the outside of the door trying to get in didn't know the password. And they were trying to come up with, "What is the password? What is the password?" And they could not figure it out. And when I sort of woke up and sketched that out, the only thing is, this is going to sound kind of bad. I don't know. I don't mean it this way, but I feel like the Lord gave me the password. It's not like I have some secret or something. It sounds like I have some secret. I was given some secret in a dream or something. But I think it was just a point he was probably trying to make in my own life. And he said, "The password is thank you. Thank you." Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. I was doing some research on the internet for jokes. That's where I get all my really great jokes. All of the bad ones come from me. I think this one made it into the good category. I'd like to share it with you. There were two men walking in a field one day, and they came upon an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence, and they were afraid for their life. And the storming bull followed in hot pursuit after them, and soon it was apparent that they're not going to make it. So terrified, one of the men shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, I can't. I've never prayed anything out loud in my life." "You must pray something," implored his friend. "The bull is catching up to us, and he will surely kill us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know. It's the one that my father used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Yes, for what we're about to receive. Well, the truth of the matter is we all need to hear about being grateful. And I want to talk to you tonight about three powerful connectors between God's greatness and our gratefulness. You see, the problem is when we stop being grateful, we gravitate toward grumpiness, don't we? I mean, that's the theological problem with gratefulness, is that deep in our hearts there's something theologically off. Now, I've already heard several times tonight, because I was listening for it, how much we gave the Lord thanks. And that's really important, because if you thank the Lord after the fact, well, that's gratefulness. If you thank the Lord before the fact, that's faith. In either case, we need gratitude. We need gratefulness. And one day I was being mentored by one of my ministry mentors in life, and he called me out about something. He said, "Mike, why do you always look at the negative?" and in things. And he followed that up by, now you know, negative ministers are the enemy's best tools. And that convicted me that day. And I told myself, Lord, I pray that you would help work a spirit of gratefulness in me for the rest of my life. Maurice Lednecki, the former president of Central Bible College, was fond of telling us students that you will either worship God or be critical of those who do. I heard that. If I heard it once, I heard it 100 times during my course at CBC. And I believe all of that is true. And I want to tell you, I know most of you probably want to be grateful, but I know that you also trend towards grumpiness sometimes too. And no, I'm not meddling. It's a problem we all have to face. So the first connector, I want to show you three connectors tonight. And the first connector is this: accept your place with God. If I could have rewritten this this afternoon in time for the thing, I think I would have changed the word accept to some form of surrender to your place of God, but you get the idea here. Let's look at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now, just briefly, I want to make mention to you, when you see the word, the phrase, all the earth, don't excuse yourself from that. You're included in that. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. A little bit of a strange phrase there, isn't it? Know that the Lord, he is God. But here's the explanation. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Something that I want to at least lay a foundation for in gratitude is the foundation of our gratitude is the Lord, not the benefits of serving the Lord. Now, I've walked long enough with the Lord to know that his blessings are amazing. But something the Lord has really been convicting me of lately is to not serve and worship the benefits of serving the Lord, but don't forget the awe of who God is. There's something in my own generation I shared this Wednesday night. It's been very strong in my heart lately. I feel like folks from my generation, it's probably true of all, are beginning to slip on their awe of God. Now, we will read throughout Scripture that we're supposed to fear the Lord. That's not to say you should be afraid. The word could literally be translated to have a reverence for or to stand in awe in of the Lord. And my friend, let me just caution us not to use the Lord's name in vain or call upon his name in haste, because when we are saying in Jesus' name, this is the God who made everything. It's he who made us and us for him and for his pleasure alone. And so he set this whole place into motion, and he spoke life into us, and he spoke by his word, and the earth was created, and it's for him. Let's just look at that verse 3 once again. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Accept your place with God. Here it is. He made us. Faith in him makes us family, and he is acting to care for us. He is acting to care for us. Dr. Jim Bradford likes to say the Bible in a sentence is, the God who created us has acted to rescue us. Oh, I like that sentence. It does summarize the Bible quite well, doesn't it? The God who created us has acted to rescue us. Now, throughout the years, I've met a few people that I would consider giants of faith, but one doesn't stand really above just a handful of people, and one was a lady named Joy that I met in Africa a few years ago. I had the opportunity to go with Pastor Don to Ghana, West Africa, and as we were there, we were able to visit a ministry called Cry Africa, which is a ministry to persons living with HIV or AIDS. That day, we were going to join a small group Bible study or a small group session with persons living with AIDS. And I was with a very small group of people that were allowed in the facility. And I went in there and I sat down in this circle. We were outside all in plastic chairs, and right next to me, I introduced myself to the lady, and I said, "What's your name?" She said, "My name is Joy." And soon the facilitator started everything, and for some reason, she just said, "Well, why don't you guys just visit amongst yourselves for a second?" And I turned. I did know going in that all of the people around us, well, actually, they weren't all, but most of them were Christian. There was one Muslim in the circle, but the lady beside me was clearly a Christian. And I said, I just thought, well, I'm in Africa. I'm not really sure what to talk about. I don't know that I have a lot in common with Herb. So I just thought I would launch out and ask her what it's like living with this disease. So I just turned to her, the opening question, quite the icebreaker, right? So I said, "Joy, what is it like to live with HIV? And she responded something that would change my life. She said, "There is something worse than living with AIDS." She said it emphatically and boldly. "It's living without Jesus." And I just remember, you know, Don, I think, came back and shared with the group that those two sentences forever changed my life. Because gratitude is refreshed in us when our perspective changes, right? It's about perspective. It's about things getting smaller in our lives and going, "Oh, wait a minute. Yes, there is something worse than living with HIV. It's living without Jesus." It's like the old Scottish minister who was known for getting up every Sunday morning and thanking God for something, and it drove his parishioners crazy. And one day they had one of the worst storms in Scotland, and they thought, "Oh man, what in the world's he going to get up and thank the Lord for now?" And he gets up and he says, "Lord, I thank you that not every day is like this." You know, sometimes it's perspective. Accept your place with God. The second connector is this. Enter his presence with the password. This is the password. Thank you. Let's look at it in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Now, if I were to tell you to meet me by the turtles at Bass Pro, 99% of you in this room would know exactly where I'm talking about. Now, when a Jewish person would hear the phrase, enter his gates and his courts, trust me, they know what they're referring to as well. Where do these courts and the gates lead? They lead to the presence of God, to the Holy of Holies. They lead to that most holy place. And I'd like to bring some just New Testament into this because I think it's important. And I can't believe Pastor even shared on this verse. I'd pre-planned to share it tonight, and he jumped on it this morning. I just want to remind you of what Hebrews chapter 10 says. And it was really a wonderful affirmation to hear this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." Everybody say, "Blood of Jesus." Blood of Jesus. "By the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You see, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? That's why the password to his presence is thank you. You see, when we thank him after the fact, that's gratitude. When we thank him before the fact, that's faith. Now, I really like the fact that in Hebrews chapter 10, it doesn't say that our sin is covered. Very briefly, let me just say there is a big difference between your sin being covered and your sin being cleansed. I just felt like I should share this tonight. When you stand before your Father in heaven, one day, you are not going to be embarrassed. You're not going to be embarrassed. You know, will we stand judgment? Absolutely. But you will not be embarrassed, for your sin has been cleansed. Your sin has not been covered as if it's still there. Your sin has been separated as far as the east is from the west. It is cleansed. It is washed clean. I just ask you, I feel like the Lord one day when we see him face to face and you're going to stand forgiven. It's going to be like, what sin? What sin? You have been forgiven. You're not going to be embarrassed. You're not going to be shamed. You're with Him. That's the joy of being with His, being in His presence. I've actually found that gratefulness is one of the ways that we can consciously live in a constant awareness of God's presence. I actually find there's two ways of that. Praying in the Spirit is one, and being what I call intentionally grateful is the second one. And I find the more grateful I am, the more aware, Brother Snavely shared that tonight, the more aware of His presence we are, the more grateful I am. This week I decided leading up to this message that I would keep track of everything big and small that I was grateful for, and I would write them down and share it with you tonight. I was thankful that I got the antibiotic I needed when I came down with an infection. I thank God for medicine. I thank God for music. You know, sometimes a song can say everything that I can't pray. I thank God for Daisy, who's been my best friend for 15 years. I thank God that my children have a safe school to go to, and they made it to school safe. I thank God for cars. I thank God for the encouraging lunch meeting I had. While I'm at it, I wrote my notes. While I'm at it, I thank God for lunch. I thank God for the parking spot I got down that I got downtown. I couldn't figure out if it was the favor of the Lord or just great luck, but I thank God for it. You know, what I did was instead of taking little things for granted, I decided to connect them with the presence of the Lord. I want to encourage you, if you feel like you're standing on the outside of a door trying to figure out, you know, I can't figure out why I'm not getting a breakthrough with the Lord, I want you to do this week. Start being thankful for the little things. So I heard somebody, I won't say what church or anything, we'll just call it Capital C Church, but I heard somebody this week that wasn't too happy. They were kind of down on some things with the church. So I decided to do a little something. I decided to write down all the things that I love about the church, all the things that I'm thankful for in the church. Some people think that the church's impact in culture is going down. I happen to think that things are going up. Here's some examples. Opportunity to serve people in need. That's going up. Opportunity to trust God when trusting isn't easy. That's going up. Opportunity to build a faith that will stand firm during the transitions of life. That's going up. The opportunity to create community where we can be real, open, and honest with each other. Pray for one another. Loving God and loving people. That's going way up. And we know that it's going up because the power of God still sustains the universe, because the death of Jesus is still sufficient to forgive human sin, because the Holy Spirit still comforts and guides those who need wisdom, because the Bible is still the Word of God, because prayers still get answered, because faith still overcomes fear, because the tomb is still empty, because the church is still marching, and Jesus is still Lord and doesn't need a stimulus package to bail Him out. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't know how to pray. I was told a person, I was sharing this idea, what I was going to preach on tonight, and he said, be honest, this guy is, sir, he's a pastor's kid. He said, if I'm being truthful with you, Pastor Mike, I feel awkward when I pray. I don't know how to start. And God bless him, he's a dear friend. And he said, I hear people pray in church, and it's like they do it so effortlessly. You know, can we all just pause for a second and realize if you've been walking with the Lord for years, and some of you think it's just so easy to pray. I pray like I'm just talking to the Lord. Not everybody's like that. Some people are still learning. Some people are still walking in a little bit of trepidation before the Lord, and we have to help model really good ways to pray, right? I mean, conversational ways to pray. And the password, I like this, thank you, is a great way to start in prayer. So maybe you feel like you feel awkward praying. You don't consider yourself a prayer warrior. You may say, I'm never going to be a warrior of prayer. I'm just trying to be, you know, a person of prayer. You know, start with being thankful. So those are the connectors. Be grateful for the place that you have in His family. When we enter His presence, we enter with thanksgiving, not grumpiness. And the last connector that I want to give you tonight is something that's a little, just a minute to explain, but I think it will be something you can apply to your life. I want you to think about a great God doing little things. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. Well, you know, sometimes that's not that easy to say, is it? For the Lord is good. But it's true, isn't it? His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. You know, James chapter 1 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, here's the phrase that I want to give you tonight. Instead of asking God to do big things in your life, I want you to think about a great God doing little things in your life. I don't know about you, I have tended to pray big prayers. God, you're the God who gives me dreams. You're the God who inspires me to worship. Big prayers. There's nothing wrong with big prayers. But tonight, I just kind of sensed a bit of a course correction to help us think about a great God doing little things in our lives. The problem is that sometimes we only think that God is in the little things. The world likes to say the devil is in the details, and I can understand what they're saying. I do understand, but, you know, God's actually in the smallest of all things, isn't he? And so here's the question for application tonight. How small can God be in your life? How small can God be in your life? What about the whisper of the Holy Spirit? What about the little dream that he gets you to write down and to start thinking about? What about those little quiet promptings? What about obeying him in the smallest things, in the smallest areas of your life? I heard one person say that God will not promote you beyond your level of faithfulness to do the little things. In other words, if you're faithful with little, you're going to be faithful with much because he's going to give you that. Think about a great God doing little things. You know, let's just think for a moment. I want you to think about all of the ways in which you can apply this. I've heard folks say, well, I don't want to start giving in the offering right now because I can't tithe. I can't give up 10% of my income. It's just too much for me. Well, have you given anything? I've been pastoring long enough where you get these questions sometimes, and maybe you're not there yet, but can you do 1%? Start with something small. I was just working with a guy about 2 years ago that had this very same thing, and they were giving nothing, and they wanted to tithe. And I said, well, how much are you giving right now? Nothing. And we started with 1%. And they're tithing over, well, they're giving over 10% of their income now. And it just took a little bit at a time. The littlest things, my friend. You think, oh, man, well, I've got a neighbor who's far from the Lord, and I have no idea what to tell them. And if I tell them something, they might have the question of all questions, like, why does good things happen to bad people? And you feel like I'm just going to fall out on the floor when they ask that because I don't know the answer. Well, none of us know all the answers, okay? Your witness matters. You may think, okay, it's Pastor Appreciation Month and everybody, we all applauded this morning. You may think your thank you note doesn't matter, but it matters. Have you ever just been around the church, your church friends, and you just felt that little prompting and you just felt like you should say something to a person? Maybe it was just like, you know, I just want to tell you that I really appreciated your ministry, or I really appreciated the fact that you just said, hey, to me. Your encouragement matters. Look, we can believe God for great things, and we should, but I don't think God's going to give us big things until we're trusting that great God to help us be faithful with little things. Your witness matters. Your giving matters. Your faith matters. You say, maybe I only have faith to believe for something small. You know what? Start out trusting God. I know some of you in this room are facing some big obstacles. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to to believe God for that, and you don't know how to do that, can I just say, can you zoom out a little bit and just start believing God for little things, one day at a time? Sometimes that's all it takes to get you through. Again, this is all going back to that picture in my mind where there was a group of people standing on the outside of a door wanting to know the password. And I'm not sure if that's you tonight. And I'm not even sure what that represents. But I do want to say, if you have felt some sort of hindrance and you're not able to push through that, you're believing God, you're a Christian, don't hear me wrong, but there is some kind of hindrance in your life, I want to challenge you to start radically thanking God. I also want to challenge you to start praying in the Spirit. Because I think when you pray in the Spirit and you couple that with disciplined thankfulness, you're going to see a breakthrough in your life. I believe it. You're going to see a breakthrough in your life. God's greatness and our gratefulness. Tonight, as we close, I want to give us some time to come down to the altar and respond in a very specific way. And that way is to ask, how can you be small? How small can you be in your gratefulness and trusting God's greatness? How small can you be? I'm going to offer a prayer, and then at the end of that prayer, I want to invite you to come and find a place at these altars while the music plays, and let's come and find a place to pray. Lord, I pray for my dear friends tonight whom I love and believe the best in. And Lord, I pray that if someone is here and they're feeling like they are on the verge of a breakthrough, and for some reason they just cannot figure out what is holding them back, Lord, we don't pretend to have all of the answers tonight, but we know that you do. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help couple the power of the Holy Spirit with radical thankfulness in our lives. Help us be small. Help us be faithful in the little things. Help us to recognize the steadfast goodness and faithfulness of the Lord in the smallest of all things. And may we have a perspective shift that is representative of your greatness and your love in our lives. Help us and open us up, Lord, we pray, to a new perspective and new dimensions of your love and grace as we are faithful to recognize the smallest of all acts, the smallest of all blessings in our lives. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, I want to encourage you to come and find a place in these altars, and maybe you need to renew your faithfulness to the Lord in the smallest of all things tonight.